How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 186 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can head on to iTunes, search Locked On Thunder, subscribe to the podcast there, and leave a review once you're on that page. Find us on audioboom.com as well. Log on to normantranscript.com. You can check out my blog there, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site. You can see all my Thunder coverage there. I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday. Monday episode today, recording this late Sunday night. So close to late Sunday night, it is damn near close to Monday morning. The Thunder just got absolutely destroyed, 118-87 in Houston. Recording this in the hallway, in the arena, with my buddy Matt Tynan from Real GM. Second half, not a great one for the Thunder.
No, not a good second half. There was, you could tell, in the first half, it was like, man, this might be close. Like, this might be close the entire game. And that's obviously, when you're watching a basketball game, that's what you're rooting for. But, that got pretty ugly in the second half. That's for sure. You can't, then again, to point out the obvious, you can't have Russell and Oladipo go 7 of 35 from the floor combined. And expect to have a chance against this Rockets team, because they can, especially at home, they can get out in front of you, and then it looks really ugly, uglier than it probably actually is. But when they get hot, when they get going like that, and they did in the second half, it can get ugly, that's for sure.
So we had a conversation at halftime. Like, I saw you in the media room at halftime. It was 59-54 Rockets, and I forget exactly what Russ's halftime numbers were, but he was playing really badly.
He was not good. He was not good.
He was playing badly, and we had a conversation like, man, the Thunder are down. They're down 5 right now, and Russ and the Rockets were not making threes.
Right.
But Thunder are down 5, and Russ is really playing a sloppy basketball game. And that's probably a pretty good sign for them.
You would think so, yeah.
Then the Thunder scored 33 points in the second half after scoring 54 in the first. Steven Adams laid out Patrick Beverley on a screen with about nine minutes left in the third quarter. It was 64-59 at that point. After that screen, the Rockets outscored the Thunder 54-28.
And Pat said after the game he's okay, but we'll see how going forward, because obviously, like he did, you're right, laying him out is the right way to phrase it. It was ugly. but, you know, sometimes when, especially with this Rockets team, and I've been around them a little bit this year, and they are really tight. Like, they sort of cape for one another, and who knows if that has any difference, you know, makes any difference in the game or whatever. I think that sort of thing is argued, you know, whether that boosts a team or gets them pumped up or more pumped up than they already are, blah, 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 whatever. It wasn't good from there, but they were already pulling away a little bit at that point. That was that may have been a sticking point that people are gonna look at going forward, but that game was already sort of getting away from the Thunder. You could see that early in the second half, even. Obviously, people are going to point to that sort of stuff, and as emotional a player as Pat Beverley is and how much they love him in that locker room, that's gonna be sort of one of those moments that they look at and say, hey, maybe that was a turning point. Who knows? We'll see how it goes the rest of the series. Obviously, Beverley is super crucial to that team, not just you know, because of the way he shot tonight, the way he played tonight, but his defense on one of the best players in the world in Russell Westbrook, like, that's going to be an interesting storyline to watch going forward.
Yeah, Beverly, like, we talked about the emotional side of it, but, like, let's put the emotions aside for a second. Like, Pat Beverly played a great game.
Oh, he was really good tonight. Yeah,
I love his game, too. Mm-hmm. I know that, like, the majority of my listeners, obviously, are Thunder fans, and they're not going to appreciate me saying that.
Oh, no, yeah. There's no way that the majority of your listeners are gonna say anything positive about Pat Beverly. That's for sure.
Right, but I don't care, because I love his game.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand if you're a fan and you look at it differently than that.
Yeah.
But I love his game. He plays so hard. Hmm. He's such a great defensive point guard. He might be the best defensive point guard in the entire league.
He's great.
He's a better shooter than he gets credit for. He hit 4 threes tonight. He was awesome.
4 of 6.
He's a really good rebounding point guard.
Yeah.
He does all the little stuff. I love his just the same thing that people talk about with Russell, with his fire and his competitiveness and his just like relentless energy.
Right.
Beverly's the same.
Yeah.
He's not as good.
He's not Russell Westbrook, but he has, you're right.
But he's got those emotional, those traits where you watch him, you're like, that dude cares
for sure.
so much.
Well, it's the reason he is in the NBA is because he cared, or cares that much, because he wasn't, I don't even think he was drafted, if I recall correctly. He had to make his way through the ranks, playing overseas, making his way into the NBA. So, yeah, that dude cares a lot. And there was no way that he was going to be what he is now. He had 21 points and 10 rebounds tonight. 10 rebounds from the point guard. I mean, he's not a guy that's going to get a lot of assists, because that's Harden. That's just Harden all day. It's James Harden kicking or scoring. So, you know, Pat Beverly is a guy that's going to spot up and not get those assists. But 21 and 10 in a playoff game from Pat Beverly, man, when you look at the other talent that is around that team, that's a huge deal when you get that sort of contribution from your point guard, who is not at the level of a lot of the other guys on that roster.
And his defense on Westbrook, his on-ball defense on Westbrook was so great.
On top of that, you know what I mean? Like 21 and 10 from a guy whose primary responsibility in this series is going to be guarding Russell Westbrook. I mean, it was a very impressive performance from Pat Beverly. And this arena, you saw it tonight, when he makes his threes, when he's hitting shots, they go crazy for that guy. Like, and he's really emotional too. Much like Russ, like, gets all into it, fires up the crowd, you know, makes everybody mad at the other team. Like, he's a lot of fun to watch when he gets going, and he doesn't really get a chance to get going all that often. So, really big game from him. And if they're going to get that from Beverly on top of his defense on Russ, it's going to be tough for the Thunder going forward.
Yeah, the biggest thing he did tonight, he was so good at. He was picking up Westbrook full court, which was great, and that was effective. And
terrifying. Like,
he forced some turnovers that way. But the best thing that he did was the way that he was able to stick with Russ around ball screens.
Yeah.
He was fighting. Yeah. He wasn't going under. He was barely going over. He was just knocking through them, except for that Adams screen. Like, he was knocking through them. He was going behind the screens. He was doing a great job sticking with Russ and not putting the rest of the defenders on that team in a position to where they needed to help and come out of position and kind of mess up the rotations of that defense. He did such a good job with that. And that was a big reason why they struggled in the second half.
You know, when you can, talking about Russ as the head of the snake, it's very, I mean, I set an NBA record in terms of usage rate during the regular season, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you can make life that miserable for that guy for as long as Pat Beverly did tonight, I mean, that's going to make all the difference in the world. You know, look, we were both in San Antonio last year and saw Oklahoma City get blown out in the first both of the first two games, I believe, and then come storm back and win the series. Obviously, they're missing a pretty important part of that team, but you don't want to make a lot of judgments about one game, obviously. And I, you know, Billy said that tonight. Like, look, this is just one game. It doesn't matter if it's a 2-point win or a 5-point win or a 28-point whatever. You know, it doesn't matter. It's just one game. But whenever you talk about where the Thunder, where the strength of the Thunder lies, everybody knows it's Russell Westbrook. And if you have a guy like Pat Beverly who can make life absolutely miserable for him, I mean, that's certainly something that's not going to go away unless the guy is maybe hurt, unless his, you know, his back acts up. They don't play again until Wednesday, so he's got some time to recover. And you know, you and I were both in, well, I don't know if you were in there for Pat and Harden, but it sounded like he was okay, and I can't really see it being an issue going forward. But yeah, watching those two go at each other is a lot of fun. Her watching Russ go at Pat and Pat pushing back is a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, it is. And Russ, since I don't know if we read the line, but Russ finished with 22 points, 11 rebounds, and 7 assists. But he was just 6 of 23 from the field,
yeah.
And he had 9 turnovers. He was sloppy with the ball. He looked like he was rushing a lot of stuff, really, trying to get away from Beverly, trying to draw fouls, which he couldn't get. He was really off. Andre Robertson was really good in this game, though. There's a positive.
Well, that is a positive, except when you look at it from the fact that, like, when I look at the Andre Robertson line, I'm like, man, you wasted a – not wasted. I don't want to put a – in, you know – harsh terms in that capacity, but you got a 4 from 6 from three from Andre Robertson tonight, and you don't know if you're going to get that again. You don't know if you're going to get 7 of 10 from the field again. You know you're going to get his defense, but he was hitting shots tonight, and it's one of the main reasons the Thunder were in the game in the first half. I mean, he was making shots when they got him the ball. So on one hand, yeah, you look at it and you say, even with Russell Westbrook struggling, you got the good stuff from Andre Robertson. But then you look at it and say, well, what if we don't get that? And what if Pat Beverly is making life miserable for Russ the whole time? And you're going to – I mean, obviously, Oladipo is going to be better than 1 of 12 from the floor. But it's absolutely a positive. Maybe Robertson has one of these hot series. I mean, we saw it last year. He can go – And throughout this year, like, he can go stretches of games where he remains hot, or he is efficient, at least from the floor. And given his role on the team, that's kind of all you want. You just want him to be efficient. That's what you want. You need much more from Oladipo and Westbrook. And there's no way I don't have a lot of money to bet, but I'd bet money that we're not going to see 7 of 35 between Russ and Oladipo combined going forward the rest of the series. That's a really ugly stat line, and I don't think we're going to see that going forward.
Yeah, so let's talk some Harden stuff. Yeah. James Harden, 37 points, 7 rebounds, 9 assists. Interesting part for me, 13 of 28 from the field, 3-11 from 3. The interesting part for me was how the Thunder defended him. During the regular season, they... Yeah, you're not changing stuff up for the most part against guys in the regular season. You're running your regular schemes. You're running your regular defense. And for that was guy covering the ball, big man usually coming up pretty high on the pick and roll, relatively aggressive pick and roll strategy compared to a lot of teams around the league, which often just leave the big back. I think part of that is because Billy Donovan's always really conscious of bigs who can shoot threes and shoot 20-footers, and he wants his big out there to defend. He wants a big out there to cut off a driving lane to try to kick to a popper. I think he's just conscious of those guys being around the league, so he has that. The Thunder went different. They were switching immediately.
Yeah,
a guy would come over. He wouldn't even set a screen.
Yeah.
He wouldn't even slip a screen. He would just run over, and the Thunder would switch before a screen was even set.
Yeah.
Every single time. It was about as aggressive of a strategy as you can have in terms of switching. So I shouldn't say aggressive. It was about as active, and it's about as anticipatory of a switching scheme that you can possibly have with what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Harden scored well. Got to the rim a ton. I'm not 100% sure it was because of the switching. Donovan didn't seem to regret the switching.
No, he didn't.
I'm not 100% sure it was because of the switching. I think it was that the help on the back line after the switches just wasn't good enough.
See, that's the question, because the Rockets in the paint tonight were ridiculous. I mean, you look at the points in the paint, 62 points in the paint.
Which helps they had 31 second chance points too, compared to 4.
That's crazy. 31 to 4 second.
But that's also, here's the thing that That happens when you switch because your bigs are out on the perimeter.
Of course.
Like, that's a thing that happens.
And what the Rockets do really well and what Houston, look, more so than any other team in the league, they're going to get you at the rim or they're going to get you from three, and it's really difficult to guard both of those things. Not to mention, whenever Harden gets those drives and you talk about the bigs being pulled away from the basket, that opens up that lob that he has to Capella, and Capella can go up and get it. So it's a really – look, Houston is a really, really difficult team to defend. Who knows if, like you brought up, who knows if that's just because of the switching that he was able to get by his man. Obviously, if there's a big on him, he's going to have a better chance to beat him off the dribble, but that they may have had something to do with the back line. But that's going to be, it's going to be interesting to watch what they do, because you're right. They were very, there wasn't any question about what they were doing. It was switch everything every time on Harden, every time on that high pick and roll. We're switching. We're not letting him get downhill. The problem is that guy's really good. He can get you off the dribble, and once he gets by you, once he gets in the paint, he wreaks havoc because he can do so many things, and he's such a talented passer, and he has so many shooters around him, and he has these athletes, you know, and a guy, like I said, like Capella. So who knows if it was all about the switching, or the reason that he was going off like that was because of the switching. But it's going to be really, I love the playoffs, because game to game to game, you get to sit and stew over analysis, you know, the analysis of the schemes and everything like that. It's a lot of fun to watch. So it's, and Donovan, look, like I said, like last year, they made great adjustments against the Spurs. And look, you know as well as I do, you can't, the Thunder are not going to beat the Houston Rockets when they are out-rebounded 56-41. Like, they have to be able to utilize their size, but the difficult thing is, like, you can't be really big on the floor against the Rockets like you were against the Spurs last year. You can't, because they spread you out so much. So the adjustments that Donovan makes going forward is going to be – that's going to be so interesting to watch, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Want to hear my theory?
I would love to hear your theory.
I could be wrong.
Okay.
That's how I'm starting this off.
I say that like every time I posit any sort of theory, so go ahead.
Maybe they change a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but in terms of their pick and roll coverage,
yeah.
game two,
yeah.
I don't think they change a thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think it was more execution than it was strategy.
Okay.
I'm into switching on Harden. I thought
– Oh, totally. Yeah,
I thought their back line defense was really bad after the switches. The execution was really poor.
Mm-hmm.
There were a bunch of times they miscommunicated, and both guys would go with the roll man and would leave a guy open on the perimeter. Happened a couple times with Beverly, where mm-hmm. Beverly just was like, oh, look at me. I have a shot. And he put up a three. I don't even remember if he made it or not. But these were open shots, good looks. Happened with Harden a couple of times. They miscommunicated a few times. The first time they've run a defense like this year, they messed up execution. And in terms of just looking at Billy Donovan historically in the playoffs, mm-hmm. you mentioned the Spurs series. Mm-hmm. He made a lot of adjustments. A lot of those were lineup adjustments.
Yeah, right.
Didn't make a ton of schematic adjustments. If you look, they lost by like 30, 32, whatever it was, in game one to San Antonio last year.
We were all sitting there like, well, this is over.
And remember, LaMarcus Aldridge destroyed them, right?
He went off.
And everyone's saying, what are they going to do against LaMarcus Aldridge? You remember what they did in game two?
They were like, look, if LaMarcus is going to beat us like that, we'll live with it. We just have to execute better. Like you're right. I think, and you've obviously watched this team a lot over the last 2 years, so you would certainly know better than I would. I'm with you. I don't think, especially in today's NBA, we've seen that switching has become the thing, like the best way to defend a lot of these teams.
And a lot of teams defend Harden by switching on him.
Yes, they do. A lot of teams defend Harden because if you don't, unless you have a freak like the Thunder have a great defender in Andre and Robertson. So it's still so difficult to defend that guy if you're not going to switch, because once he gets going downhill, it's over. Your defense gets all spread apart. and you're either trying to crash down on him to prevent him from getting to the rim, or you're sticking with shooters, and either way, you're screwed. So I agree. It sounded like Billy was not super worried about that scheme in the post game tonight. So you're probably right. I'll go with you. I believe you more than I'd believe myself on this. So yeah, I would agree. I think you're going to see a same amount of. I think you're going to see switches all over the place in game two. But that's what film study's for, right? The execution, like tightening things up, making sure. Look, the Rockets. We give D'Antoni a lot of credit because of the way the style of basketball. The way that they play the game. It's very modern. People have talked about him as being very innovative, and he is, but you kind of know what they're going to do, right? I mean, they're going to set a high pick and roll. If Harden gets switched, he's going to try to get by his man, and it's just a drive and kick game, or the backdoor lob to the big man if another big steps up and challenges. So you know what they're going to do. Donovan showed last year that he makes adjustments very well, and whether that's schematic or execution, either way, I do not think that this is going to be a blowout of a series. I think the Thunder had a bad game. I will say that the Rockets going 10 of 33 from the floor or from the 3-point line is a little bit worrisome because they might have one of those games where they go 21 of 34 and you can't do anything about it. But at the same time, we talked about points in the paint. We talked about second chance points. Like, those things matter a lot. So even though they were missing their threes, they were making up for it in areas that I feel like the Thunder are strong.
Here's the encouraging thing, too. Like, they held him to 33 three-point attempts.
Right, I know.
That's the more important part of three-point defense, limiting attempts. Yep. They held him to 33 three-point attempts. That was in part because of the defense they employed. If they're going to make an adjustment, here's what I think it is. I don't think Norris Cole is going to play in game two.
Interesting, okay.
I thought that was a weird thing. And
yeah, you asked him after the game.
It was so weird. I don't know why Norris Cole played in this game. Billy kind of gave me a non-answer. He just said he liked him against the lineups that Houston was playing.
It was weird.
It was a weird thing. I think we're going to see Taj Gibson at the five more. Okay. Taj played only like 21 minutes in this game. I think we're going to see Taj Gibson, Jeremy Grant lineups more. Okay. I think we're going to see a lot less Enes Kanter.
Interesting. Again, I'm gonna go with your.
I could be wrong
on this.
It
makes sense. The thing that I keep going back to is I don't know what the Thunder are going to do outside of just executing better and hitting and Russ and Oladipo hitting their shots.
But let's say Oladipo goes 5 for 12 and they're all twos.
Yeah.
And Russ goes 10 for 23.
Yeah.
Like, that's another 16 points right
there. Sure.
And all of a sudden, it's not a win, but the score looks a lot better. And their subpar defensive execution gets a little bit better. All of a sudden, it goes from 14 points, and now it's a 6-point game. And, maybe one or two more threes, and all of a sudden, you've got your win. Like, that's how you do it. Like,
sure. The thing that's interesting.
To me, it's execution. That's all it is.
Yeah, and, to that point, I think most coaches would tell you, when it comes to rebounding, that's more about execution than scheme. But the Thunder cannot be out rebounded. They cannot.
Yes, you're right.
They because of the way the Rockets play, you have to get the damn rebound when they miss. Because if you don't, and you give them the second chance opportunities like they did tonight, 31-4. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
That's crazy. And I guess 12 out of 14 when they got the offensive rebound. Like, if the thing that you're talking about, if they do end up going smaller and they don't have those guys, the more size in there to rebound, I don't know. Again, you've seen this team a hell of a lot more than I have, but
you're right.
They have to rebound.
Even just accounting for the fact that they're switching and they're bigs on the perimeter and all that stuff, like 31-4 is insane for second chance points. And a 58% rebound rate for Houston is remarkably high.
Well, crazy. If your bigs are out defending Harden on the switches, then your wings have to crash. Like, they have to crash and take care of the glass, because it's not like the Rockets are, you know, Capella and Ryan Anderson and whoever.
Nene played well.
And they do have some size and some crafty guys and some really good rebounders, but you cannot let them get that many second chance points. Otherwise, you're screwed, because if you give, you know, a lot like the Warriors, it'll, you know, a slightly lesser extent, but if you give the Rockets second chances, you're
give a mouse a cookie.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything to plug before we wrap up?
I'm going to have some stuff on this series at Real GM, maybe some other places this week, but you know, nothing specific tonight, but I'll be seeing you here in Houston for as long as this series lasts.
Twitter?
@Matthew_Tynan.
Great. And I'm @FredKatz, FredKatz. Send all your hate mail there, or to LockedOnThunder@gmail.
Send it to me.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Or to LockedOnThunder@gmail.com, and you can subscribe on iTunes. What else? What am I supposed to say? I don't remember. I don't have my stuff in front of me.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't remember. I will
read
be back.
Stuff at the Norman Transcript.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, you can go on normantranscript.com. Yeah, go on normantranscript.com, and there's my blog there. Thunder Road, which will have my gamer from tonight, and some notes, and some other stuff, and some stuff that we talked about here, and all the ensuing stories, and all that kind of stuff. Going to be back tomorrow with another episode. Probably going to have another good guest. Matt, thanks for coming on.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, until tomorrow, Lockdown Thunder is locking up.